This is the story of Madge and Midge. Madge loves Twitter, Tumblr, Flickr, Hulu, G-chatting, watching video and downloading music all day long. Midge occasionally checks her email or the forecast on weather.com. Both pay the same monthly internet service fee. Want to bet the internet providers want less Madge and a smidge more Midge? You bet they do. But a few years ago, providers like Comcast, AT&T, and Time Warner Cable decided to set rates per month rather than according to bandwidth used, and now they're said to regret it. The internet is getting congested. We were talking about it, and we were wondering how it happened that the demand for the internet has outpaced infrastructure. Why isn't there enough bandwidth? Is the internet breaking? What are the plans for the future? Fortunately for us, these questions came up at the exact right moment. This week marks the third International Conference on the Future of Internet Technologies. Craig Partridge is chief scientist for Internet Working at BBN Technologies. He's at the conference and joins us from Seoul, South Korea. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. First, could you explain some basic concepts far below your pay grade? But we all know the word bandwidth. Maybe we've never thought about it that much. How physical is bandwidth? Did the internet companies not make the bands wide enough to handle all the traffic?
It's physical in the sense that, I mean, you set up a fiber or, you know, in some cases, a wireless link for a particular amount of capacity. And sometimes that's easy to change. You know, you just rip out a little bit of equipment and put in some new equipment. Sometimes it's a little harder to change. You may have to add some fiber somewhere to give yourself more bandwidth. In this case, I think really what's happened is we're finally using up all that excess bandwidth, which was left over after the internet boom. We had a lot of extra capacity. And, you know, we're suddenly, finally, 8 years some later, using it up, and we need to sort of rebalance.
Did internet companies make a mistake in trying to forecast how much bandwidth would be needed?
There's reason to believe that they underestimated how much bandwidth some users would use, and they allocated bandwidth, you know, in your local neighborhoods. In the backbone, they're doing fine. But, you know, when it gets down into your block, there's some suggestion they may have underdone it. We're still not sure. I mean, you know, that information is kept rather tightly within the ISPs.
When I read about what the ISPs, you know, your AT&T and your Comcast, what they might be doing, you always hear they may be charging more for the guy who's going on Netflix and watching a movie at home, but you never hear that they might be giving a discount to the person who's only reading email. Do their pricing plans seem fair to you, or do you think that it's just going to make more money for Comcast?
Well, there's a general consensus in the networking community and in the economics community, too, that the model they're proposing is probably exactly the wrong one. nobody really should care how much data you send or receive in a month. I mean, you know, for all we know, you're doing it during the night when nobody else is on the net. And, you know, it's not like we can store the bits that aren't used during the night and use them during the day. They're either used or they're not. So what we really care about is people who are trying to put a heavy load on the network when lots of other people are trying to get work done too, and balancing out the load in those situations. And in that case, you don't charge me by how much I use in a month. You charge me to say, hold it, you're using the net at a heavily loaded time, and if you want to go faster, you should be paying us somewhat more. And, you know, instead, the model that's proposed actually has a lot of conflicts of interest that people don't like, such as these companies that are proposing to bill you by the month. Well, they're delivering lots of data by the month to you. It's called cable TV programming and HDTV.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of clogging it up, too, aren't they?
And they're not saying that they're going to, you know, reduce what they send into my house so that I can send more of the data I care about versus that HD channel I'm not watching right now.
So I look at this is the third International Conference on the Future of Internet Technologies. It would be a fly on the wall. What are you guys talking about? Are you trying to build a bigger, better internet?
Well, actually, yes, trying to build a bigger, better, faster internet. The meeting actually has multiple parts, and around it are a bunch of technical conferences, and I'm actually co-chairing the one about sort of what technologies do we need to drive the internet into the future.
What's your biggest idea as far as that goes? What are you the champion of?
Well, me personally, I'm the champion of making much better use of our wireless spectrum. If you go outside and sort of measure sort of the amount of power in the air, how much, you know, energy different wireless devices are putting out at any given time, you'll discover that, most of the time, most of the spectrum is idle, and yet we keep hearing about wireless bandwidth crunches. And mm-hmm. The answer is it's because we're trying to squeeze all our wireless bandwidth into a teeny bit of the radio spectrum. And we need to find ways of making use of that other part of the spectrum.
Excuse my ignorance, but will that mean that in the future Wi-Fi will be as fast as really good broadband connection in one's home today?
Oh, faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the broadband connection? Will that be faster too?
Oh, yeah. There are limits, but when you compute the numbers from where we sit today, they might as well be infinity. I mean, you know, the limits are that far away from where we are today.
I think you just got into Seoul, but other countries, I hear countries like Finland and South Korea are better connected. Is the bandwidth situation different in different countries?
It's quite different. It's different in different countries. You can buy, for example, in both Seoul and Japan, you can buy far faster connections to your home, and they cost you less than they do in the U.S., and it's, again, an all-you-can-eat model. You know, you just buy a certain amount of capacity and, you know, as much as you can load up and as much as the high-speed and carry you get. In Finland, one of the more prominent things is just how vigorously they use wireless in Finland and how much they've focused on creating a wireless society, as well as being, of course, well cabled up.
And finally, because I'm attracted to cool acronyms, there's something called GENIE, the Global Environment for Network Innovations. They got $2.5 million a year from the National Science Foundation to research how to expand the Internet. Are any fascinating ideas coming out of this GENIE project?
Well, there will be. I mean, the goal of GENIE is to build a nationwide experimental network, sort of a laboratory for experimentation in networking and the science of distributed systems and the economics that drive them. So you will see it, but right now it's in the early stages. It's working on designs and prototypes. So when the NSF says, okay, it's time to actually build that nationwide infrastructure, we know we can build it cost-effectively, and it will meet all of the research needs to create this world of much more bandwidth 15 to 20 years out.
And I know BBN Technologies is big on that. So are you in charge of this, if you're the chief scientist?
Well, actually, no. In this case, I'm working with another chief scientist, and he's named Chip Elliott.
Because I just asked, because in the future, I want to know when someone says, oh, yeah, Al Gore says he invented the Internet, I want to be able to correct him. No, it was Craig Partridge, or no, it was Chip Elliott.
Chip Elliott, yeah.
Okay, Chip Elliott was the guy who reinvented the Internet.
Well, perhaps, but, you know, Al Gore deserves his place here, too. So.
Craig Partridge is chief scientist for internetworking at BBN Technologies. He joined us from the Third International Conference on the Future of Internet Technologies in Seoul. Thanks a lot, Craig.
You bet.
Coming up, there are no easy solutions to the global oil crunch, but there are automatic talking points. We will begin our dissection of the answers you always hear for the problem of high gas prices. This is the Brian Park Project from NPR News.